A reading from the first book of Samuel. In those days, Hannah brought Samuel with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and presented him at the temple of the Lord in Shiloh. After the boy's father had sacrificed the young bull, Hannah, his mother, approached Eli and said, "Pardon, my lord. As you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood near you here, praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted my request. Now I, in turn, give him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be dedicated to the Lord." She left Samuel there. The word of the Lord. My heart exults in the Lord, my Savior. My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in my God. I have swallowed up my enemies. I rejoice in my victory. The bows of the mighty are broken, while the tottering gird on strength. The well-fed hire themselves out for bread, while the hungry batten on spoil. The barren wife bears 7 sons, while the mother of many languishes. The Lord puts to death and gives life. He casts down to the netherworld, and he raises up again. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He humbles. He also exalts. He raises the needy from the dust. From the dung heap he lifts up the poor, to seat them with nobles and make a glorious throne their heritage.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. Verbum Domini.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
We welcome back as our servers this morning, Michael and Luke, together with their brother James. You may remember, those of you who watched the Mass for many years, Michael and Luke served for about 5 years here, and now they're college men, so you watched them grow up here and doing well in college at the Catholic campus ministries at both of their places. So they mentioned to me when I saw them at Handel's Messiah, we'd been given tickets, that when they first started serving here, it wasn't easy. It was kind of a sacrifice to get up that early. But it's all paid off, you know, that you're doing well in college now. And whatever we give to the Lord always comes back to us. As I often say, God is never outdone in generosity. So we wish you well and are happy to see you back here today. I was happy to receive the winter issue of Imprint Magazine, which is the magazine, the quarterly magazine of the Sisters of Life, and they always have some very beautiful stories in there. And they mention in there, in one of the articles, and this whole issue is about listening. So the power of listening to God, listening to others, and how that impacts a person when you actually receive them, you listen to them attentively. And it's talking about the child in the womb, and that the child, one of the first things a child will hear will be the beating heart of its mother, and it may be as loud to those tiny ears as a washing machine. Imagine being so close to that, your mother's heart, when you're in the womb, and that heart is always beating, it's always there. But then at about 23 weeks, that child can perceive sounds outside of the womb. And so it can perceive, especially low tones, but then perceives its own mother's voice. Because, you know, when we speak, it reverberates through our whole being, doesn't it? And so that those reverberations are picked up by that child within the womb of the mother. And it could also perceive music or the mother singing, perhaps. It picks up those vibrations. And so after that child is born, one of the most calming things for that child is to hear the mother's voice again. Or one time I was visiting recently a family, and they had a little girl, and she was just quite content to sit on her mother's lap and rest her ear next to her mother's heart. And I couldn't help but think, you know, is she remembering her time in the womb? Is that a comfort to her, to hear that beating heart again? And so that child is calmed by hearing the mother's voice or the father's voice that's heard, and even music and different music that they hear outside in the womb. When they hear it again, it can calm them down outside of the womb. But they told this beautiful story about a couple that had come in for an ultrasound. And this couple had had two miscarriages. And so they came in for the first ultrasound in this pregnancy. And when they saw the little girl within the womb of the mother, the little child was all curled up and the fists in front of its face. And so they're trying to do things to get the child to move. So the technician had the mother get up and walk around to drink some water, to have some candy, but none of it was having any effect. The little girl just remained curled up, wouldn't move. And having had those miscarriages, they were worried for this child. But then something happened. The sisters, the two that were there, prayed the rosary. They sang some songs, still nothing. And so they entrusted this child and surrendered this child with trust to Jesus. And then something happened, they said, that Sister Mary Grace, who wrote this article, said she'll never forget. The father who had been sitting in the corner up until that point, that he got up, he went over to his wife's tummy, and he bent over, and he began to speak to the child in the womb, in his mother's, in his wife's womb. And all of a sudden, things started to happen. The little baby uncurled her hands, stretched out her legs, and she reached out to where her father was speaking outside the womb. She recognized her father's voice, and she was delighted. In fact, her eyes opened, they said, and even fluttered, at her father's voice as she's reaching out toward her father's voice. So we think about that, and we're thinking in these days about the child Jesus being in the womb of Mary and how his little heart beat with that of Mary. The first sounds he would have heard would have been Mary's heart. And so he was physically united to her, taking his humanity from her, but also spiritually, her heart was one with his. And that's what we see in this beautiful prayer that the church repeats every evening. Every evening, the church sings and prays Mary's Magnificat, Mary's Song of Praise. It's often called Mary's Song. And do you ever think of Mary singing? Of her singing lullabies to the baby Jesus? Just as I said, a child is comforted by the voice of the mother, of Mary singing hymns to God. And so after she receives this awesome grace of the Annunciation, that all that Israel had longed for so many centuries and the prophets had foretold was coming, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and he would be Emmanuel, God with us, that day had arrived. And it was in her that this was taking place. And so Mary, immediately when she learns of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she's going to help her. And it's a long trip. It's several days. And during that time, she's pondering this wonderful mystery that is now taking place within her. The child in her womb, the incarnate word, Emmanuel, God with us, now within her. And she's pondering these things, but Mary, this hymn, this Magnificat, Mary's song, that it's original, but what does she do? She weaves in God's word in it. And that's why we had the reading from 1 Samuel today of Hannah. And so Mary knew this story of Hannah, obviously. And she knew that when Hannah had prayed and the child was given to her, it was a miraculous birth that had been foretold, that Hannah then brings the child to the temple, Samuel, and then she prays the prayer that we heard as our responsorial psalm today. Mary knows this, and she knows it well. She knows it well. She knows the psalms. And so her own hymn, her song is original, but she weaves in it these events, these words of God that she knew well from 1 Samuel, from the Psalms, from Habakkuk, from other places. She was a woman of the word. She was at home in God's word. She thought with God's word. She reflected upon it. She spoke with God's word. You see, that's the very best thing that we can do. Because if we are forming ourselves in God's word, we're forming ourselves in truth, in goodness, in true wisdom. And that's why the church, every sacrament, we hear God's word. Every Mass, we have this rich treasury of God's word. And during the season of Advent, we're looking especially at Isaiah the prophet, other prophecies as well, how there was this longing, how there was this desire, how there was this foretelling of the virgin who is going to be born, of the child who's going to be born of the virgin. And so we're going along, we're contemplating these different things in the scriptures that we hear during this season of Advent. And then the gospel speaks of those events that happened, you know, before, just before the birth of the child. So today we have Mary's Magnificat at her visitation to Elizabeth, her cousin. So this is true wisdom, those of you who tune in to the network and especially to the daily mass. You want to be formed by God's word. We all do, because that's going to lead us to true wisdom. And what is the first thing that Mary says? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. You know, sometimes there's this idea, this mentality that, well, God's just limiting my freedom. I want to be autonomous of God. I want to be independent, and then I can be truly free. And Pope Benedict says that was the philosophy of the prodigal son. He wanted to be autonomous. He wanted to be truly free. He wanted to do what he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted. And he ended up becoming a slave. And it was only by returning to his father's house that he found once again the restoration of his dignity. And so if we eliminate God, that does not improve our dignity. It only diminishes it. We become slaves. And what is it that unites all of us? What unites all of us is to have this common direction, this common direction toward God. That's the only thing that will unite humanity. Having that common direction and being formed by God's word, by God's will, wanting to live in that, as Mary did. And so her first words is, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Will we proclaim God is great and we live in that way? We share in his divine life. What's greater than that? Just to live our puny human life? We get expanded, we grow. And as Pope Benedict would also say, that even when we give our time to God, we're not wasting our time. In fact, it's becoming all the richer. Our lives are becoming richer by proclaiming that God is great, by living as if he is great, because he is great. And we really have a debt of gratitude to proclaim his greatness. Holy is his name. The mighty Almighty has done great things for Mary, but also for you and for me. The very fact that we exist. And one final word, you know, Pope Benedict, of course, loved Christmas and reflecting on Christmas. And this was an insight of his that I thought was really beautiful. To think of yourself as God's artwork. God's art. So what does the word art, ours, mean? It's like a craft. It's like how we make things. And so we're part of what God has created, his art, woven into human history. That our lives matter. That he wanted us to be part of this story that he's telling. And that we can perceive God's idea within ourselves in bringing us into this story, in creating us. We begin to be able to perceive his idea. And that we begin to express that visually or audibly. You know that Michael and Luke and I had the joy of going to Handel's Messiah. What a remarkable piece that he wrote in less than a month. And the first performance of it was for three charities, and it was often something that was performed for charities. those who were in debtor's prison or the foundlings, to help those children who were orphaned. But it was something that God creates Handel, right? And he perceives this art within himself and can express it with God's own word, doesn't he? It's all God's word. And that the music and the singing just intensifies the effectiveness of that word. Well, Mary does that. She's formed by God's word. She thinks with God's word. She's truly wise. She's truly all beautiful, truly all good. And so she teaches us too to be those people formed by the word of God, thinking with the word of God, and proclaiming his greatness. So let us, dear people, do that. Let's follow Mary's example. And today I'd encourage you to pray her Magnificat, but not only her Magnificat, your own. A particular scripture passage that may be especially touching to you, that resonates with you, turn that into a song of praise to God. That's what Mary did. And that's what we should do too.